ministry of Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. Our vision, bringing people into the full realization of their potential in God, and our mission, building a community of believers whose lifestyle positively influences change in the society. Welcome to Lighthouse. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org.
Romans chapter 1 this morning. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, the gospel. We look at the topic this morning. What is the gospel? Because when we understand the gospel, we'll be able to know what God did for us, what Jesus perfected for us in the work of salvation. And then we'll be able to also understand our responsibilities as citizens of the kingdom. So this morning, I'm trusting, just to pick up where we left off last week, Sunday, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. All things have become new. If you are in Christ, you are a new creature. All things are passed away. You have a new life. And that's not the end of the story. Last week we said, God has also gone a step ahead by giving us a ministry. It's called the ministry of reconciliation. In other words, God saved us, but he has also given us the mandate to reach out as ambassadors of Christ, so that people can hear this same word of reconciliation. People don't have to live in sin anymore. They don't have to be far away from God anymore. As a matter of fact, God will leave the realm of just somebody that we pray to somewhere kilometers away, but the assurance that God is now living on the inside of us. That's the ministry of reconciliation. And we left off last week by saying there are people around us. You don't have to look too far. We have friends, we have colleagues, we have neighbors, we have family members that needs this message of reconciliation. So today we just take it up. Paul was an apostle. But before Paul became a Christian, Paul is someone you can tag in the modern day space of learning, a senior advocate. So Paul was a professional. Paul literally understood what goes on in the marketplace. And he rolled out his CV somewhere in Philippians. So when it comes to learning, Paul was a learned man. When it comes to giving himself to knowledge, he was excellent. But Paul was so zealous in what he believed to be a subject about God that he was even ready to kill. And he actually killed on behalf of that God. Until one day he had an encounter, which is what I would say, an encounter with the gospel. On his way to where he wanted to kill, the gospel himself encountered him. And that experience turned the life of Paul around. And to the fact that he took it with that same zeal. He wrote almost 3/4 of the New Testament. And then one of the letters that he was emphasizing, because he knew where he was coming from, He was a man given to the law. So the book of Romans is 16 chapters. If you want to understand the gospel, if you want to understand the subject of righteousness, you need to study it on your own. There are 16 chapters. You can just read it within 1 week. So Paul was writing, because in the book of Romans, you see so many things about righteousness, about living this life without a sense of guilt and condemnation, about the law. The New Testament is better than the Old Testament. It's not just better, it is the life. God's life is revealed to us. And so Paul was writing in verse 16, in the opening of his letter to the believers at Rome. Let's read verse 8 first. He said, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you. So what Paul embraced, the personality of Jesus Christ, made a whole world of difference. In the book of Philippians, he said, I am a first-class Pharisee. I learned under Gamaliel. He said, but all those things I laid to dog so that I may win Christ. So Paul says, because their faith is being reported all over the world. And he said, God, whom I serve with my whole heart, in the preaching the gospel of his son, is my witness. How constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. So that tells us that Paul had a thriving prayer life. And I pray that at last, by God's will, the way may be open for me to come. What was Paul's desire? He said, I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. So one of the things that our understanding of the gospel will do for us is that it will make us strong. There are many voices in the world today. There are many spirits that are speaking in the world today. Your understanding of the gospel will help you not to be seduced. You are of God, little children, and you have overcome. But you need to understand that. So Paul writing, verse 16 is my emphasis. He said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. I know what it is. I know the potential it holds to change someone's life. I know that the gospel is not an outward in experience. It's an inward out experience. I know the gospel has the power to regenerate a man, to turn the life of a man around, to affect every area of his life, affect his spirit, his soul, and his body. He said, I am not ashamed to proclaim this gospel. I know that this gospel is the power of God. The gospel is the power of God. And when that power is released and flowed, it leads to someone. Power of God unto salvation. We'll get into it shortly. What is salvation? What is the gospel? What is righteousness? We may not conclude today, but I just want us to understand what that gospel is. He said, I am not ashamed because it is the power of God for salvation of everyone who believes. Everyone who believes, every human being that you can see that is breathing. That gospel is the power of God for transformation. That's not the end. Verse 17. He said, in this same gospel, I don't like this version. Can we go to Hold Faithful King James? I don't want to, hey, this is it. He said, for therein, that is in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed. That gospel. There is nothing called self-righteousness. There's nothing called, outside the gospel, I am good. I am morally upright. There's nothing like that outside the gospel. It is in the gospel that is the power of God to save. It is the gospel that the righteousness of God is revealed. And it's progressive from faith to faith because it is written. And like I've started saying to you, it's one of my favorite thoughts now. If something is written, it can't be unwritten, especially in the Bible. Everything is true. It cannot be unwritten. It means we can't say because we live in the 21st or 22nd century, so it must fit into the present day culture. No, it's the culture that must fit into it. Because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He saved yesterday, he's still saving, and he will save tomorrow if he tarries in his coming. Praise God. So the gospel is where the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith as it is written. Whoever believes the gospel is regarded as a just person. I know it's very easy for every one of us in this room to believe that we are sinners, because the Bible says Adam sinned and sin passed from Adam to all mankind. But you know that it's also very challenging. If I say how many righteous people are here, maybe a little hand, we go up. Because it's also very difficult for many people to believe that they are righteous. It's very easy for mankind to have sin consciousness. It's also very challenging for people to have what we call righteousness consciousness. That gospel, that's where it is. The Bible recorded somewhere in Isaiah that self-righteousness is like a filthy rag before the Lord. So there is nothing that is man-made. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone. That's the thing. Everyone who believes, you have to believe. Yes, last week Sunday, we said, how does one get saved? Romans chapter 10. Can we read it again? Romans chapter 10, verses 8 to 10. How do you get saved? It said, but what saith it? You do NKJV for me, please. What does it say? In other words, how do you get saved? The word of salvation is near you. I'm preaching it again this morning. You probably heard it on the radio on your way. You probably have. Somebody has given you a book. So the gospel is the word is near us. It's in printed pages. It's on the media. The word is near you. When you receive it in your mouth, in your heart, that is the word of faith that we preach. Verse 9, that if you will confess with your mouth, so you have to take that step. It's a personal step. You have to take it. If you will confess with your mouth, the Lord Jesus, I can confess for you. I can only ask you to repeat after me. But you have to confess with your mouth, and then you believe in your heart that God raised him. Because that's the message of the gospel. He was raised from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus formed the basis of the gospel. That's the good news. That death could not hold him captive. That with mankind is free from the bondage of sin forever. That mankind can hear God, can come to that place of his original intention for God when he made man in his own image. So the gospel, God raised him from the dead, he said, you will be saved. How does it work? Assurance of salvation, verse 10. For with the heart, one believes unto righteousness, and then with your mouth, confession is made unto salvation. That is the gospel, the righteousness of God being revealed from faith to faith. 2 Corinthians 5:17, one translation, I think this is message. He said, therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ the Messiah, he is a new creation. That's the power of the gospel. Old is gone, new has come. And like I said last week, if you truly believe it for yourself as an experience in your life, then it means sharing it as an ambassador of Christ with other people will not become challenging. It's not. And what do? You are confessing what you believe. And confession has three aspects. You affirm what you believe. You are testifying to it. You are a first-hand witness. If God has changed your life, it's evident. And I said last week, and I'm still going to say it, if you are saved, you know you are saved. If you are not, you also know that you are not. So, but you can be saved because God has made the provision. God's intention, hell is like a personality. Death is a personality. God's intention, God's life, God has two natures, life and love. The devil has also two natures, death and doom. That's what the devil has. Death and doom. But God didn't create hell for man. Hell is eternal separation from God. Heaven is eternal presence with God. That's when you are saved, heaven begins now. Eternal life is imparted to you. And then the part of the things that gospel, that power in the gospel we do for you is that since eternal life begins now, you are destined, you are designed to reign here in life. Romans 5:17. It said, those who have received this gospel, the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, their assignment is to reign, to testify to the power that is inherited in the gospel. Praise the Lord. As I praise the Lord. So Christ rose from the dead because he had conquered the adversary, the devil. So the power and the influence of the devil is broken completely. And that's the message of the gospel. A man can be saved from spiritual death, from poverty, from sickness. Man can be saved from the curse. That's what those three things are regarded as the curse of the law. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, Galatians 3:13-14, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree. I love what verse 14 says. So it doesn't say that the curses. It said that the blessing. That the blessing, not the curses. Not the curses. People spend their Christian experience trying to chase out curses out of their lives. I was saying it somewhere where I preach. I said, when will you start enjoying God's blessing? We can't be chasing childhood. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. Everyone who believes. Everyone. So, if this pulpit is animated and can make a decision, and this will be a response to the gospel today, this pulpit can be saved. But it's an inanimated object, so it can. So, God created you and I to respond because we have will, we have emotions, and then we can make decisions. It doesn't override our will. You can hear this message over and over until you come to a place where you make the decision for yourself. You don't reap the benefit. So, it's not about, I was born in a Christian home. No, it's not about that. It's not, I'm the son of the archbishop. It's not about that. Because you have to respond. If you believe in your heart, then you confess it with your mouth, and then you will be saved. Even if you are not born a Christian or born in a Christian home, you can make that decision. And we have seen that. Praise God. Because it's something that you have to do for yourself. You are a man, you are a woman, you have come to the age of accountability, and you can make decisions. Nobody forces another person to be saved. You have to be saved by yourself. God will not force you. The Holy Spirit will not force you. But what you need to hear is the gospel message. And then you can respond to it. And when you respond to it and you believe it, which is God raised Jesus from the dead, and then you confess it, Jesus is my Lord, you are saved. Praise God. Praise God. Let me just pull out two scriptures for us to reinforce the power that is in the gospel. Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. The Bible talking about the power that is embedded in the gospel. He, that is Jesus, has delivered us. You know, if he's going to deliver us, then we can be doing deliverance service every Sunday. Peradventure, somebody will be delivered. Do you understand? Like the man who spent 38 years at the pool called Bethsaida. You know, all these things are written for us so that we can understand completely what Jesus. It's a once and for all sacrifice. He broke the fangs of the devil over our lives. You know, we can't approach our Christian walk as someone who is a victim of life, who is still trying to do something. So that peradventure, that self-righteousness, and it's like a filthy rat. Nobody can obey the Ten Commandments. But if you are saved, and you receive the life of God, and you are operating in his love, then by walking in his love, the requirement of the law is fulfilled in you. So he has delivered us from the power. So the gospel has power, but power past power. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. He has. If I give you a ticket for lunch meal today, will you still be hungry? Possibility is, if you don't know that you have a ticket, if you don't read it very well, if you misplace your ticket, but if you have that meal ticket tucked away in your jacket suit, are you still anxious about lunch? No. He has delivered us. He has. People are still, if you don't understand what is in the package of the gospel, you can still be afraid of witches and wizards. You can still be afraid to go to the village. You can still be afraid to share the testimony of God, what God is doing in your life with people. Because your mindset is that, when God blesses you, just use your hand to cover your blessing. But hey, it is still a blessing that is small, that you can use your hand. There is a dimension of God's manifested power in your life that even the heathen will say the Lord has done great things for you. The gospel. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his dear son. If I need to be at Lekki now, and I ask Akin to take me to Lekki, and in another 10 minutes we are at Lekki, am I still at Ikeja? So he conveyed us from the power of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of his love. How? He said, in that Son, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. It's a story for another day, but let me just drop that. I can pick it, redemption, blood, and forgiveness of sin. Do you know that if we don't understand the power that is in the gospel, our prayer time, we can turn it into a confession time. And you will never understand the true fellowship with God your Father. Some people don't pray until they sin. Some people don't pray until they have a need in their life. No. No, you need to come to the place of sonship, place of awareness. And God is not an ATM card. That is only when I have a need that I just throw it in and punch whatever needs that I have. No, beyond our prayer point, God's number one desire is fellowship, communion. It's a word translated koinonia, which is related to sexual intercourse. So when you worship, when you study, when you meditate, when you pray, it is communion with God. That's why Paul, writing in another, I bless God for Paul. I think it's in 2 Corinthians, the last verse, 13, 14. He said, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we are so used to it, these things, that we don't pause. Grace is what you do when you are closing a Christian gathering. Let's share the grace. Hey, well, may the grace of our Lord Jesus. The love of God, our Father. No. It's beyond that. And then the fellowship, the communion of the Holy Spirit. Can I ask a question this morning? I want to know how you understand the God. Where is the Holy Spirit? Eh? Yeah. Some people still pray, Holy Spirit, come. You need to come to the place of understanding. Come where? He is already there. He's inside of you. John 14, 26, he said, is your standby, is your comforter, is your strengthener, is your intercessor. It's your advocate. Because sometimes the devil wants to put accusation on you in the place of prayer. He helps you argue your case out. Praise God. As I praise the Lord. Galatians chapter 3, that's the second scripture. The power that is in the gospel. Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Galatians chapter 3. It said, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Can I ask a question this morning? What do you understand by the curse of the law? Anyone wants to try? Let me even understand. Because sometimes when we say Christ has redeemed us, a lot of believers are also not sure what they were redeemed from. Anyone who wants to try, there is no wrong or right answer. Anyone? What is the curse of the law? I don't want chorus. If you are so sure, are you sure? Really, really sure? Can I see your hand? What is the curse of the law? Yeah. Death in what sense? I want you to say death as in equal or death as in separation.
Spiritual death.
That's what I want you to say. Any other person who wants to try? There are three of them. The curse of the law. And I'm going to give you an assignment because the way you are all looking at me. You know, some people these days believe that it's only the pastor who should be studying the Bible. You can't grow that way. You can't grow. You are taking us back to the Old Testament. And when those people, when they had just one experience with God, they said, Moses, what we saw today is good. We know and believe that there is God who reigns and rules in the affairs of men. But we want to tell you just one thing. Do us a favor. Go. If you want to do 40 days, 80 days, just go. And when you come, whatever this God tells you, come and tell us. That's Old Testament. New Testament says, let us come boldly. It's your Father. Let us come. Let us come. When you settle down with the word, you are come. When you meditate, when you pray, when you witness, you have come. Because you are testifying to the power that is in the gospel.
Hangs on a tree. Curse. Can I ask the question this morning? Do you know who hanged on the tree? In those days in the Jewish culture, when the most cruel death that you can give any criminal, is to hang them. It's death by hanging. And we saw what happened. It's a very shameful death because it's usually done in public squares. And when someone is being hung on the tree, the whole, not just the whole community, the whole state, the whole region, as it were in those days, are aware. It's a special testimony or ceremony. And so people gather in Colosseums to watch it. So usually, it's maybe something that is done once in a year. And on that particular year that Jesus was being crucified, that he was making the demands for our sin, there is one dangerous guy that was put up. And you know how the devil operates. That's why the Bible is, Paul, I thank God for Paul. He wrote it later out. He said, have they known? Because easily, Herod will have yielded to the voice. In fact, the people prefer that Barabbas, who stole their farm, who stole their thing, should be released to them. But to show how God loves man, do you know that even on that cross, Jesus still saved? So, Christ went to the cross. Spiritual death, which bad thing, was nailed to the cross. Sickness was nailed to the cross. Poverty was nailed to the cross. So, those three things were what Christ redeemed us from. Spiritual death, poverty, and sickness. If you want to have a full understanding, go to the law. Deuteronomy 28, it gives you. And it gives you the blessing. The first 14 verses. And then you, from verse 16 to verse 68, there is no sickness that is operating in our world today that is not in verse 16 to 68. Depression is there. And he said he even had it. And some sicknesses that have not yet been discovered. So, those are the curse of the law. So, if you read it, it's categorized. So, get back home. Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28. What most people read is the first 14 verses.
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,